Today's daf is daf Tzadi Gimel, Amud Aleph, and we got up to yesterday, Amale Rabba Bar Rav Hanan Labaye, which is four lines down from the top of the Amud. And you may recall that Abaye didn't understand, in the case of a Chotzak Dola and a Chotzak Tana, the Chotzak Tana is Prutza to the Chotzak Dola, and the halacha is that you're not allowed to carry in the chotzak tana, and that's because of a mechitza that we set up between the chotzak dola and the chotzak tana. That mechitza, in a sense, protects the chotzak dola, but as far as the chotzak tana is concerned, it's nimshach, and the tuma goes into the chotzak, not tuma in this case, but the iser travels into the chotzak tana. And Abaye was wondering, where do we find such a thing? Is there a precedent to this principle of a mechitza oseres? Amale Rabba Bar Bar Hanan, Labaye lo matzinu mechitza le'isur. There is such a thing as a mechitza oseres, vasanya, and we learned it in Braisa, Abaye is shechetzio mekora vechetzio eno mekora. So in the laws of Kilayim, if you have a mechitza that separates the vines on the one side of the mechitza with the zroim on the other side of the mechitza, you're allowed to plant. And there's no iser kilayim. Now, in a case of a house that has a roof over half of the house, and the other half of the house is not under the roof, then the Brice establishes that we apply a principle called Pitikra Yored Vesosem, and at the edge of the Tikra, of the ceiling, we draw an imaginary line, an imaginary mechitza that comes down, and that separates half of the house from the other half of the house, in such a way that because of this mechitza, you can plant Gefanim on one side of the mechitza and Bizorei Zroim on the other side of the mechitza. And that's based, as we said, on the principle of Pitikra Yored Vesosem. The ilu hishva es keyurav asur, if he extends the ceiling in such a way that now it covers the entire house, and the entire house is covered by the ceiling, asur, then as a result of setting up this kind of a mechitza by extending the tikra, now you won't be able to plant both gefanim and zroim inside the house. You're going to have to set up a harchako between them, because in Hilchas Kelayim, the harchako is a minimum of Dalet Amos. You're going to have to separate the Zroim and the Gefanim by Dalet Amos. As a result of putting up the ceiling, putting up a mechitza, here you see a mechitza oseres. Amaleis, Abai responds to Rabba Bar Hanan, there's no proof. Why? Hasam siluk mechitzasu. Abai says that in effect, you're not adding a mechitza, you're really subtracting a mechitza, because as a result of extending the roof, you no longer have a pitikra yored vesose. And now we're up to sholach le rova labaye biyad rav shmaya bar zeira. So Rava now sends a message to Abaye, and he's going to try to prove lo matzinu mechitza le'iser. We have a precedent in the laws of Kelayim for the principle that setting up a mechitza will generate an iser. The Braisa says, Yesh mechitza sakerim lahakel ulahachmir. Sometimes when you put up a mechitza in a vineyard, it generates a heter because it allows the planting of zroim on the other side of that mechitza. But sometimes the mechitza generates an iser. Ketzad. The Braisa continues to now detail exactly when you have a mechitza hamekila, which is a mechitza materes, and when you have the opposite, a mechitza haoseres. Kerem hanatua ad ikar hamechitza. So rea meikar mechitza vielach. If you plant a vineyard up until the mechitza on one side, exactly somach to the mechitza, it's dovach to the mechitza, it's connected to the mechitza, you're allowed to be Zorea, you're allowed to plant Zoraim, grains of all sorts, mi'ikar ha'mechitza ve'elech, from the gufa mechitza, meaning on the other side of the mechitza, there's no need for a harchok of dal and amis from zroim to gefanim in a case where there's a mechitza mafsika that sets up a division between the two sides of the mechitza, so that the distance now between his zroim and his kromim and his gvanim is really almost zero. It's just the thickness of the mechitza, but it's certainly a lot less than dal and amis. So you have here a mechitza hamekila, hamateres. Shrei ilu ein shom mechitza marchik arba amos vizorea vizeu mechitza sakerim lahakil. Had it not been for this mechitza, he would have to be marchik a minimum of dalet amos. And on the side, I would just comment that this is a very fine example to prove the point that kelayim is not a mitzius; it's not a physical reality. You could always argue that underneath the ground, below this mechitza, the vines and the grains are connecting to each other. That's where they nourish, underneath the ground. It's hard to believe that a halachic mechitza would undermine the biological metzius, the reality of kelayim, of having a mixture of two different species. But the halacha determines whether it's kelayim or not. In any event, lahachmir ketzad. Where do we find in the world of kelayim that setting up a mechitza generates an isur? If, let's say, you set up a gefen, you set up a vineyard, a kerem, and the end of the kerem is at a certain distance from the wall that surrounds the kerem. A kosel that sets up the boundary, the outer boundary of the kerem, but there's empty, unplanted earth between the end of the kerem and the kosel. In such a case, he requires our chaka of 12 amos. And 11 amos is not going to do it. So if he wants to plant zroim at a distance of 11 amos from his kerem, that would be in violation of the laws of kelayim. Lo yavi zera l'sham. And now let's assess the situation. Il molei ein mechitza, had it not been that he set up the mechitza, then marchik arba amos v'zorea, he could distance himself from the last vine of the kerem 4 amos, and he can plant grains, tzolzayin gezun, go ahead and plant whatever you like. 4 amos of archok is enough. But now, as a result of the fact that he has a kosel, he has a mechitza that surrounds the kerem, he's got to allow for a distance of no less than 12 amos between the end of the kerem and the planting of zeroyim. V'zoi mechitza sakerem lahachmir. So Rava quotes this brisa as an example of a mechitza. The fact that he set up the kosel will generate an isur that instead of being marked 4 amos, which is sufficient, now because of the kosel, because of the mechitza, he has to be marked 12 amos, and 11 amos is not going to do it. Amalei, so Abai responds, Ulutameich, according to your understanding that this case of harchok of 12 amos from the end of the kerem to the kosel is an example par excellence of mechitza liisur, is osvina bimasnisin. He didn't have to quote a brisa. You could have quoted a mishnah in the fourth perek of kelayim, visnan keirachas hakerem, Beit Shammai omrim esrim v'arba amos, Beit Hillel omrim shesh esrei amos, and mechol hakerem Beit Shammai omrim shesh esrei amos, u'Beit Hillel omrim shtem esrei amos. Now, the Mishnah itself is going to explain in great detail what is keirachas hakerem and what is mechol hakerem. Let's just sort of paint the outer sketch of what we're learning about as an introduction. A keirachas is an empty area, like a bald spot. You have a kerem, and the kerem is planted, let's say, in a square, but in the middle of the square, there's empty ground. That's desolate. It's keirachas. And the question is, are you allowed to plant zroim in that keirachas? And the reason why we think it's okay, and it should be okay, is because since there are no vines in close proximity, this is an empty, desolate area of land that's not planted, then there's a harchoka, there is a distance between the zroim that you want to plant in the kerachas and the close vines, the vines that are the closest. However, to our surprise, in the case of kerachas hakerem, dalet amos is not sufficient. You need either 24 amos of a distance, according to Beis Shammai, or 16 amos of a distance, according to Beis Hillel, and we'll try to explain that machlokas. Then we have something called mechol hakerem, which is similar to the braisa that we learned earlier that Rava had sent to Abaye, and that is when you have a wall or a fence that surrounds your vineyard, and from the last vine to that wall is empty ground, empty earth that hasn't been planted, and you would think that just go from the last vine, 4 amos, towards your gader, towards your fence, and plant zroim over there. There's nothing planted there. You are marchik arba amos, nein. That's not enough. You have to be marchik a minimum of, says Beit Shammai, 16 amos, according to Beis Hillel, 22 amos. Now the Mishnah continues. V'ezi kirachas hakerem. What is kirachas, the bald kerem, part of the kerem? Kerem shecharav emtzi iso. We're talking about charev means it's desolate in its middle. So that you have an area that's empty, that is surrounded by gefanim on all sides. Im ein sham sheshisre ama lo yavi zerolasham. The Mishnah now is presenting the Shita of Beis Hillel. It could have been Beis Shammai in 24 Amma, but the Mishnah now mentions the 16 Amma requirement of Beis Hillel, which means that in order to allow Zriya, you need at least a 16 Amma distance in the case of a Kirachas HaKerem from the place that's in the middle of the Kerem all the way over to the outer, or maybe we could say the inner, innermost and closest keren. Hayusham sheshes rei ama, then nosein lo kidei avodaso vizorea es hamosar. If you have a distance of 16 ama, that's completely desolate, meaning it's empty of any gefanim, then he gives himself 4 amos towards each side of the kerem, because again the kerem is surrounds this kereach on 4 sides, and then he can plant any zroim that he wants in the 8 amos that are left in the middle. So you have a square of 8 amos, which is the main part, the critical part of the kereach, and you have another 4 amos between the outer side of the kereach and the kerem, the closest kerem. And on the other side, let's say, if we're going north and south, we have another harchoka, 4 amos, in addition to the 8 amos. So you now have 8 amos plus 4 plus 4, totaling 16 amos. And that's the shita of Beit Shammai, of Beis Hillel, excuse me, is the 16 amos. Now, we have to understand that the way that Beis Hillel arrives at the number 8 amos, and then he adds an additional 4 amos on each side, is the following. We want to set up the kerachas hakerem, as a separate sode. It's a field unto itself. It's not part of the kerem. And in order to do that, we need an area that is chashiv, that has a chashivus of a kerem. And according to Beis Hillel, that will be 4 amos. But we need it on all sides. So we have to double it to make sure it's 6. It's 8 amos. You have 4 amos and 4 amos. And that sets it up as a sada, as an entity, a field unto itself. Then we have another halach. In addition to the chashivus of a sada, that will separate it from the Shem Kerem, so that it's a separate entity and it's not Kilayim, I also need what's called Kedei Avoda. Kedei Avoda means the area that I need in order to take my plowing material and my planting material that's carried in a wagon by the animals, by the bakar, and that's going to be 4 amos. So I have 4 amos separating this part of the kerem on the south from the kerachas. Then I have the kerachas of 8 amos. Then I have another 4 amos separating it so that I could do the avoda by bringing the bakar surrounding this kerachas. So I've got 4, 8, and 4, totaling 16. Beit Shammai disagree because they hold that in an area that's chashuv, that can be considered a sada unto itself, is 8 amos. And therefore they're going to double it 8 amos times 2 in order to get the kerachas itself, which is now 16 amos, plus they're going to need 4 amos on this side, 4 amos on that side, and you have 16 plus 4 plus 4 equals 24. Ezi Mechola Kerem, what's Mechola Kerem, which means the area outside the Kerem, between the end of the Kerem and the fence that surrounds the Kerem. Bein HaKerem LeGoder, Shem Ein Shom 12 Amo, once again reflecting the Shita of Beit Shammai. Lo Yovi Zera L'Sham, Hayusham 12 Amo, Nosein Lo, Kedea Vodoso, Vizorea Samosar. If you have an area of 4, 4, and 4. That's 12 amos. Let's see how we arrive at the number 12 amos according to Beis Hillel. First of all, you need 4 amos outside of the kerem, meaning from the last kerem. The kerem, you can imagine, is a square. On each side of the square, you need 4 amos. That's called kedei avoda. That's going to give you an area where you could bring your bakar and you could do your planting and so forth and so on. So that's already tofel, that's already part of the kerem. Now you want to set up a new sada, a sada unto itself, so you can plant zeraim. So you need, according to Beis Hillel, a minimum of 4 amos. But in addition, you need another 4 amos to distance yourself from the goder, from the kosel, the fence that surrounds this kerem. So you've got 4, 4, and 4, and that's 16. So that Mechol HaKerem, according to Beis Hillel, requires our chuk of 12 amos. Once again, Beit Shammai is going to beef up that number from 12 to 16. He adds the 4 amos because he holds that a sada, in order to have the chashivas of a separate sada and separate itself from the kerem, it needs 8 amos. So you've got 4 amos, 8 amos, and another 4 amos, totaling 16 amos. Now we see clearly from this Mishnah of Mechol HaKerem, we're interested now in Mechol HaKerem, that by setting up the gader around the kerem, you now need our chokah, according to Beis Hillel, of no less than 12 amos. If not for the kosel, if had there been no kosel over there, you'd just be marchik 4 amos, which is classic harchaka required from a kerem to zrayim. So as a result of putting up the mechitza and the kosel, the gader, whatever you want to call it, around the kerem, you've set up a mechol kerem. Now you add a chumra that where before you set up the kosel, you could have planted after 4 amos of harchaka. Now you require a 12 amos of harchaka. Clearly, says Abaye, if Rava, you want to bring a proof from a Hilchas Kelayim that there is such an entity called a Mechitza Oseres, you should have quoted a Mishnah. Don't quote a Braisa. Mishnah is so much more reliable and authoritative than a Braisa. Ela, says Abaye, there's no proof from the Mishnah. Lav Hainu Taima, the Mishnah that establishes this requirement of harchok of 12 amos in the case of Mechol HaKerem is not based on mechitzos. It has nothing to do with mechitzos. There's a whole different reason for it, and that is the chol arba amos legabe kerem, lavodas hakerem. You need 4 amos for avodas hakerem, so therefore that gives me the first 4 amos contiguous to the kerem itself, and then the next 4 amos. Legabe Goder, now let's talk about not the middle 4 amos, where you'd be allowed to plant Zeroyim if you have another four amos beyond those four amos, close to the Gadir, is Kevin Delo Mizdaren Afkure Mafkir Lahu. A person is not going to plant within four amos of the Gadir. He's going to be Mafkir. He's going to say, you know what? Anybody wants to come and plant can plant. I don't think he means that literally, but he means to say that he's not going to join and link up those four amos close to the Kosel to his Zeroyim, the Zeroyim that he wants to plant, the Beni Ubeni, because where does he want to plant? He wants to plant in the four amos between the four amos of Avodas HaKerem on one side and the four amos of Stay Away From My God there on the other side, where it's Afkure Afkure. And he's going to plant in those four amos. Ika arba chashivan vilo lo chashvin. Since he's only going to plant in those four amos, he needs the chashivus of a sod, which according to Beis Hillel is a minimum of four amos, to separate it from the kerem itself. And now, the reason why he needs that additional four amos has nothing to do with mechitzos. It has to do with the fact that a person doesn't plant in close proximity to a fence. He built this fence, who knows what it cost him. It surrounds his kerem. And now if he starts planting in that close area, and then he does all the work, you know, all the farming, the agricultural efforts that he needs of planting and harvesting, etc., etc., he's going to knock down the kosel. So it's because of the security and the protection of the kosel that he refuses, and in this case anybody would refuse, to plant so close to the God there. So it's not Allah and Ilchus Mechitzos, it's just simply that people don't plant over there. And if they don't plant over there, then it's completely bottle. You can't call it part of a sada. So what he has is a sada. There's only the four amos in between, wedged in between the four amos around the kerem and the four amos close to and proximate to the kosel. Therefore, says Abaye, to the same extent that you couldn't have asked me and found any precedent for Mechitzos Seres in Kelayim from the Mishnah itself, likewise in your Braisa that requires a Archok of 12 Amos, and 11 Amos is not enough, the reason for that has nothing to do with setting up a Mechitza. It has to do with the fact that for 4 Amos around the approximate area of the Kosel, he would not plant. Now at this point, the Gemara is going to bring another halacha that applies and is relevant to the principle of diure gdola b'ktana, that we say that because the chatza ktana is completely parts into the chatza gdola, we consider it as if the people in the gdola are in the ktana. We apply that in many different halachas with many different ramifications yesterday. That was yesterday's shir on Daf Tzadi Beis. Omer Rav Yehuda. Shalosh karpefos zebitzad ze. Ushnayim achitzonim megufafim haemtzoi enem megufaf. V'yachid bozeh, nase kishayara, v'nosim lehem kol tzarkam. Now this discussion is a continuation of the sugya that we learned earlier in Masechta Erevin, and we'll give a little bit of an introduction. That sugya, which is on Daf Tes Zayin, discusses a concept called Shayara. The concept of Shayara, the din of Shayara, is relevant to a karpav. And what it means is the following, that normally, if you have an area that is beis asayim wide, and it's lo hukaf lidira, so that the area is fenced all around with mechitzos, but those mechitzos were not set up for the purpose of residence, in such a case, the Rabbanon considered that karpaf a karmelis, and means that you're not allowed to carry more than 4 amos. Now keep in mind that there are mechitzos which on a doraisa level are reliable, the Rabbanan don't like them. And that's called shasi or arev. Now, in the case of Shisi, you set up poles, kanim, that go vertical and stand erect, and the distance between one kan and the other is less than 3 tefachim, so we apply lavud. And a mechitza of Shisi, which does not have horizontal poles or piece of wood or anything like that, is a mechitza grua. It's not really the mechitza that, at least on a drabana level, we want to see. Then you have a mechitza which is called arev. Arev means it's horizontal. He sets up chavalim, ropes that go one on top of the other, on top of the other, up to 10 tefachim, and these ropes are separated one from the other horizontally by a distance of 2.9 tefachim, and we apply love. Now, if a person needs to set up a mechitza around a karpaf, then the halacha is that under certain conditions, the chachamim will be lenient. They'll allow you to rely on a mechitza of shasi or erev, one or the other, right? And even more than a beis hasayim. So that's called a shayora. Shayora means you have a caravan, a group of people that are on the road, they're traveling, it's Erev Shabbos, and they don't have time, there's no way they can make it into town before Shabbos. They're really camping out there in the woods, so to speak, you know, the open area. And they have to carry one to the other. And we're going to say the following. If there are only one person, or even two people, then they're not a shayora. And then we're going to be very strict, and we're going to say that you have two choices, either set up real bona fide mechitzos, or if you're using a mechitz of shasi and arev, we're going to give you up to beis hasayim, but not beyond the beis hasayim. So even though you need an area over Shabbos of more than a beis hasayim where you're allowed to carry inside, we're not going to allow you that, unless you're a shayor of three. Now, Rav Yehuda addresses the following situation. You've got three karpifios, one next to the other. And each one of these karpifios has one person inside of it. And to the extent to which we would define each karpaf as a separate entity, then we don't have a shayara. Each karpaf has only one person. And therefore, the maximum area that we would allow them to set up this inferior quality mechitz of shasi and an arev is up to a base of sign, but not beyond. They need more than a base piece, but we cannot allow that. Now Rav Yehuda wants to know what happens if you have a kind of like a chatzik gedola, chatzik tana situation where the two outer karpifios have what's called gifufim. They are megufafim, which means that they're wider than the karpaf in the middle, so they have areas of the mechitza that extend beyond, on the right and the left, as we spoke about gifufim on many, many occasions. The emtsoi, on the other hand, is a more narrow karpaf, and it's totally parutz into the two karpifios. So that even though you have one person in each one of these three karpifios, nevertheless, says Rav Yehuda, we can define it as a shayara, which means that we're going to allow them for a larger area beyond a base of sayim. Now, why is this a shayara? How do you get from one, and one to three? And the answer is, based on our principles of de jure hagdola biktana, which means that we view those who are in those who are residing, so to speak, in the gdola as if they're residing in the ktana, right? The ktana is nimsheches achar gdola. So that now we see, we'll call them Reuven and Levi on the two extremes of the karpifios on the right and the left are living together, so to speak, with Shimon in the middle. So we have three people now living in the karpaf, and we can allow what's called nosalim, called sarkom. We can give them an area that is larger than the base of Sion. However, Emtsai Magufav, Ushnai Machitzonim Eina Magufafim, in a case where the middle Karpaf is wider than the other two extremities of Reuven and Levi, and there are Machitzos on both sides, and we view those situations, meaning the Karpaf on this side and on this side, Reuven and Levi, as prutzim, as if they completely open up into the Emtsai. And again, v'yachid bazev, v'yachid bazev, v'yachid bazev, there's one person in each one of the Karpaf. Ein noslem el beis shesh. We can only give them, each Karpaf, two beis saws, and no more. Two beis saws times three is six. We don't have three people living in one Karpaf. And the reason for that is because we have one person living in one Karpaf, that's we call him Reuven on the right, on that extreme. We have one, we'll call him Levi on the left, on that extreme. And what happens is, we would have to somehow get them all together. We can't do that because the Emtsai is Magufav. And if the Emtsai is Magufav, that means he's got Machitzos that separate him both from Reuven and Shimon. As we said over and over again, the Chatz HaGdola, insofar as it has Gifufim, has a Mechitza, in which we view the other Chatzeros, in this case there are two of them, two Karpifios, which are a Pesach. But it's only a Pesach into his Karpaf, meaning the Emtsoi, we'll call him Shimon, has his own Karpaf, which is surrounded by Mechitzos. So in effect, he is alone, and he is withdrawn and separated from the other two Karpifios, and therefore there's nothing to connect all three together, and the maximum area we can give them is six beis saws. Iboiluhu, but here's a suffix. What if you have echad bazeh, the echad bazeh ushnayim b'emtsoi mahu? So again, we're talking about that last scenario that we mentioned, where the middle Karpaf is Megufov, that's the largest of the three Karpifios. The Chitzonim, the two extremes of Reuven's Karpaf on this side, and Shimon and Levi's Karpaf on the other side, and Levi's Karpaf on the other side are not Megufovim. But in this case, what you have is you have two people in the middle Karpaf. Mahu. And the Gemara analyzes this question. Ila hachanafki tlosahavi. When the people in the middle, we'll call them Shimon to the second, right? We'll clone Shimon. There's Shimon the first and Shimon the second. When these two Shimons in the middle Karpaf want to go out of the area that they've surrounded by Mechitzos, they may exit from the right side or they may exit from the left side. Ilohachidavki, but in both cases, in both scenarios, tflosahavi, you're going to have three people in the same Karpaf. So no matter how you slice the cake, you have three people sharing one Karpaf, because the two Shimons in the middle Karpaf, they have to get access and leave the Karpaf. They have to go either to the right or to the left, those are the only two choices. And they join up now with either Reuven on one side or with Levi on the other side, setting up a Shayara. Oh, Dilma, should we say no? Chad lahachanafka v'chad lahachanafik. There are two Shimons. They may be clones, but they each have their own mental psyche, and therefore one of those two Shimons might decide to go to the right and the other to the left. And you'll end up with two people in each Karpaf. You can't get a Shayara of three. Then the Gemara has another suffix. V'imtim tzalomar chad lahachanafik v'chad lahachanafik. If you're going to tell me that one of the two people in the middle is going to go towards the right and the other towards the left, and therefore you have a maximum of two people in each Karpaf, and that would not be enough to set up a Shayora, but what happens if you have Shnayim Bozeh? And Echad Baim Tzoyma, what happens if you have two people in one Karpaf on the Chitzoni on the right, two people in the Karpaf on the Chitzoni on the left, with one person in the Emtsoi, in the middle Karpaf. And Mao, what's the din in this case? Can we set up a shayara? Hacha vadai. Here we have no doubt about it. No matter which side the emtsoi chooses to go out of, whether he goes out towards the right or the left, you always end up with a minimum of three people, and that should set up a shayara. O Dilma, should we say Amar lahachenafik v'Amar lahachenafik? Perhaps the emtsoi will go through this side, let's call it the right. Maybe he'll go through this side on the left. We don't know which of the two sides of the chitzonim he's going to go, he's going to exit. So therefore, we can't choose any particular karpaf and allow it more than a beis asayim and guarantee with all certainty that that is a shayara, because we don't know if it's a shayara. It all depends whether the emtsoi goes towards the right or goes towards the left. And the Gemara concludes, v'hilchas abayin l'kula, that la'locha, with regard to the last two questions that we left open, we can be makil. Which means that whether or not it's a case where you have one person in the middle karpaf with two people on each of the other karpafs, or it's a case we have two people in the middle karpaf and one person on each of the outer karpafs, we always consider them as if they were dorim, as if they were living together, and we're going to judge these two karpifios, the chitzonim, as if they are together with shlosha b'nei adam, and therefore you're allowed a heke for kol tzarko, which means even more than a beis asayim. The Rashash is a little bit perturbed here. He doesn't understand why the Gemara had to say Hilchas Abayon Lekula. We have a general universal principle that Safik Derabanan Lekula. Why shouldn't we apply that principle here? And he answers based on a Rambam Shita. The Rambam says whenever you have a Safik in the Gemara, one Safik and then another Safik, and the second Safik leads, the first Safik leads you to the second Safik, and in between you have Imtim Salomar, and then we always pass in like the Imtim Salomar, which would give us a Chumra over here, and therefore the Gemara wants to tell us that no, we could be making. Amar Rav Chisda. Now here we turn to Daf Tzadi Gimel Amid Beis. Gidud Chamisha Umechitza Chamisha Ein Mitztarf. You have two chatzeros. One is higher than the other, and the distance between the two lamazogin is five tfach, and that's called gidud. Now, the upper chatzer as a short mechitza of five tefachim. So you now have a real mechitza five tefachim with gidud of five tefachim. Rav Chisda says that you cannot integrate the two to form and establish one halachic valid mechitza. And what that means is that in such a case, both chatzeros are going to have to join in one common eruv, because it's really considered as one chatzah, there's no mechitz in between. Ad sheyehei okulo begidud, okulo bemechitza. Either you have the lower chatzah, the tachton, or tachtona, which is 10 tfachim lower than elyona, and then you have 10 tfachim begidud, or if both chatzeres are on the same ground level and you set up a physical mechitza of 10 tefachim. But to integrate a gidud with a mechitza, 5 tefachim each, that we cannot do. Meisve, the Gemara now objects to Rav Chisda from a braisa, shtei chatzeros zula malamizu. You have two chatzeres, one is higher than the other. Elyona gvoa minatachtona asor tefachim. If you have a 10 tefachim distance between the lower chatzah and the upper chatzah, that's fine. Then you have gidud asara. And no question now, you have a mechitza between two chatzeros, which means that each chatzah sets up its own independent eruv. Oh, but here the braisa says, what happens if you have gidud, yeshpa gidud chamisha, umechitza chamisha? You have a distance between the lower chatz and the upper chatz of a 5 tefachim, and then you add a mechitza 5 tefachim. In such a case, ma'arvim shnayim, each chatz has to set up its own eruv, because there is a mechitza that separates the two chatzeros. V'ein ma'arvin echad, they can't join together and have one unison, one unified Erev, because they are separated, these two chatzeres, by a mechitza. Where's the mechitza? The mechitza itself physically is only five tefachim. But we're going to add that to the gidud, because the upper mechitza is five tefachim higher than the lower chatzer. And we see here clearly against Rav Chisda that we do integrate gidud and mechitza to form a halachic mechitza. The Braisa continues, pachos mikan, if it's less than asar tefachim, is mi'arvim echad v'ein ma'arvim shnayim. If there's no mechitza of 10 tefachim, because it's less than 10 tefachim, then both chatzeros really are one extended chatzer, and ma'arvim echad, they need one eruv for all of them. So now we have a clear, explicit braisa that contradicts Rav Chisda. Amar Rava, Rava tries to reformulate Rav Chisda in such a way that we can reconcile Rav Chisda with the braisa. Moda Rav Chisda batachtona hoel v'roa pnei asor. Rav Chisda says Rava never meant to say that gidur and mechitza totally separate one from the other and cannot be integrated. But what he meant to say is that you need a mechitza that's visible to the eye. That you look out from your chatzah and you see a mechitza. That's asar tefachim. Well, here we have a relativity theory. Relative to the higher chatzah, the Elyona, all he sees is five tefachim of mechitza. But if you're standing in the chatzah tachtona, and you're looking at the separation between your chatzah and the Elyona, you're going to see 10 tefachim. And that's called Hoyil V'roa Pnei Asara. The tachtona has a mechitza. And when the Braisa says that we integrate both Gidud and Mechitza, was referring specifically to the Tachtona, because the Tachtona is Roa es HaMechitza Asara. So the Gemara asks the obvious question, Hachi, if that's what you're saying, that from the perspective of the Tachtona, there is a Mechitza separating it from the Elyona, but from the perspective of the Elyona, there's no Mechitza that separates it from the Tachtona, is then Tachtona Tiarev Shnayim, Velo Tiarev Echad. I understand very well that the Tachtona must have its own separate Eruv. No way, no how could it link up with the Elyona in one Eruv, because the Elyona is separated from the Tachtona by a Mechitza from the perspective of the Tachtona, that's Roa Pnei Hasara. But then, as far as the Elyona is concerned, the Elyona Nebuch has no possibility of any Eruv. Why? Because it cannot set up its own Eruv, because it's part of the larger Chatz that includes the Tachtona. There's no Mechitza from the perspective of Elyona that separates the Tachtona from the Elyona. On the other hand, to join with the Tachtona, there's no way the Tachtona could join in that Eruv, because the Tachtona is separated from the Elyona by a Mechitza. And the Braisa seems to assume that the halach is the same for both chatzeros and ma'arvim shnayim ve'ei ma'arvim echad. Meaning we acknowledge and recognize the validity of this mechitza that's made up of five gidud and five mechitza, and therefore we separate these two chatzeros because they are divided by a mechitza between them, and therefore ma'arvim shnayim ve'ei ma'arvim echad. They need a joint mechitza. I'm sorry, they need a separate mechitza, each one. They cannot join in one mechitza because there's a... I'm sorry, let me say it again. They need a separate eruv, each chatzah. They cannot join in one eruv because there is a bona fide mechitza that separates the two. That's what it says in the Braisa. Which means that each chatzah sets up its own eruv. According to you, Rav Chisda, the Elyon is not going to be able to set up its own Erev because it doesn't see a Mechitza, and it's not a valid Mechitza to separate it, meaning the Elyon, from the Tachtona. Amar Rabba Bar Ula Kigon Shehoisa Elyona Megufefes Ad Eser Amos. The Braisa is addressing a case where the Chatzer HaElyona actually has on two sides, on two ends, a Mechitza of Asar Tefachim. And what it means is that the chutz ha-tachtona is smaller than the chutz el-yona. So on the chutz el-yona, you have gifufim on both sides. And that's going to set up bona fide mechitzos that separate the el-yona from the tachtona, because that's a material physical mechitza of asar tefach. Now, in between the gifufim, you have an open area of Pesach that is up to but not beyond Eser Amos, and therefore it serves as a Pesach. It's not a Pirzo, but rather a Pesach. Now, in that area that's open, that Pesach, they did not set up a Mechitza of Asar Tfach. All they have is a Mechitza of 5 Tfach. And therefore, we can have Shtei Chatzeros Ma'arvos Li'atzma. Each chatzer could set up its own eruv. From the perspective of the Elyono, we have a bona fide eruv of Asar Tfachim Begova from the Gifufi. From the perspective of the Tachtona, we have the Gidud that we need, and therefore there's a Mechitza from the perspective of the Tachtona that separates it from the Elyono. And therefore each chatzer could set up its own eruv. The Gemara is not happy. If the Bryce is talking about a case where the Achatz El Yonah has its own 10 mechitzos, then what are you going to do with the Sefer? I'm a Sefer. The Sefer says that if Pachos Mikan, in other words, if the mechitza on top of this Gidud is less than the required amount, is then Ma'arvim Echad V'ein Ma'arvim Shnayim. Then you don't have a bona fide mechitz of its pachos mikan, and you therefore integrate the two chatzeres into one large chatz, so they can only set up one common eruv for both chatzeres. Now you just told me that the chatz el yona has a complete total mechitza of asar tefach on top of the gidud. Now you can tell me that you want to reduce the Pesach of Eser Amos, so you want to expand the Pesach of Eser Amos, that's fine. But we should allow the possibility of alternatives. We cannot, as the Brisa insists, require absolutely that there be one Eruv, because since we have a Pesach between these two chatzeros, and the top chotzer has asar tefachim of gifufei, a real bona fide mechitza. So that's halacha when you have two chatzeros that are set up, one next to the other, and there's a mechitza between them, but there's a Pesach in the mechitza, then they have two alternatives. They can either decide to join together because there's a Pesach between the two chatzeros, and they can set up one common eruv between them, or they can decide that since there is a mechitz of asar tefachim, they can set up their own individual eruvin. Why then does the Braisa and the Seifa say pochus mikan me'arvin echad v'ein me'arvin shnayim? They have to set up one common eruv. They cannot separate. But why can't they separate? After all, there is a mechitz of asar tefachim in the gifufei. Amar Rabba Brei D'Rava kigon shenifetz ha'tachtona b'melo alel yona. We're talking about a case where the chatzer, hatachtona, has nothing more than the width of those 10 amos, which are parallel or correspond to the Pesach of the chatzel yona. I have a picture of it here. And what you have is, in this diagram, you have in the chatz hatachtona 5 tfachim of gidud. You have 4 tfachim of a mechitza, so totally 9 tfachim. And on the gifufei of the upper chatz, you have 10 tfachim. So the chatz ha-tachton is completely prutza, opened up to the elyona. And now the dayori elyona will generate an iser on the dayori ha-tachtona because of the din of chatz ha-gedola shenifritz ol-ketana, that the gedola is muteris and the ketana is asura. So the only way that you could be matir tiltul in the chatz ha-ketana in this case, which is the tachtona, is with an Eruv, which sets up an Eruv of Echad and Ein Marvim Shnayim. So the Gemara says, Yehochi Tachtona Chad Tiarev Trey Lo Tiarev. From the perspective of the Tachtona, which is now called the Chutz HaKatana, that's Prutz of the Gedola, they cannot carry without one Erev that connects them with the Elyona. But as far as two separate Erevin is concerned, they don't have that option. However, the Elyona, since it has the 10 Tfachim of a Mechitza, Iboy Trey Tiarev, Iboy Chat Tiarev. From the Elyona's perspective, according to Rav Chisda, there should be two alternatives. The Elyona could decide whether or not it wants to set up its own Eruv, Li Atzma, so to speak, Tiarev Li Atzma, that's called Trey Tiarev, because the Chatzar HaTachtona cannot generate an Iser on the Elyona, because of the Mechitzos on both sides that set up a Pesach in between the Mechitzos. And the other alternative is Chad Tiarev. If the Elyona decides that they want to join up with the Tachtona and set up one Erev, because there's a Pesach between their Chatz and the other, we said that whenever there's a Mechitza that separates two Chatzeros, but there's a Pesach in the Mechitza, they have the option of Chad Tiarev, of deciding to integrate into one Chatzer. The Gemara says, in Hachinami, that's in fact the truth, that the Elyona has two options. They can decide whether they want Chad or Trey. V'chi Kedani, and when it says in the Brisa, Pochus Mikam Arvin Echad, V'ein Ma'arvim Shnayim, that if we have less than the 10 Tfachim required as far as the Tachtona is concerned, then they have no option other than one Eruv, because they don't have a Mechitza that separates them. That is referring specifically and exclusively to the Tachtona. But as far as the Elyona is concerned, and if you have the Elyona has two options. So when the Brisa says, Ma'arvin Echad V'ein Ma'arvin Shnayim, they don't have the option of setting up their own Eruv, that was referring specifically to the Tachtona. All this is based on Rav Chisda. And the Gemara now points out that Doresh Rameimar disagrees with Rav Chisda, and he holds that Gidur Chamisha Mechitza Chamisha Mitztarfim, that when you have five Tfachim of a distance, which is called Gidud, in the depth of one Chatz vis-a-vis the other, plus you add another five Tfachim of Mechitza, then we integrate the two, and we have a well-recognized Mechitza, valid Mechitza, 10 Tfachim. Ashkeche Ravino L'Rav Acha Brei D'Rova Amalei Tani Mar Midim Mechitza. I don't know exactly why the Gemara adds this story. I'm not sure what it illustrates, but Ravina met up with Rav Acha. He asked him, did you hear any good chidushim on the topic of Mechitza? Amalei, lo, I didn't hear anything about Mechitza. Vehilchisa, now the Gemara goes back to Machlokas Rav Chisda and Mareimar, and the Gemara Paskins Giduf Chamisha Mechitza Chamisha Mitztarfin, we accept La Locha Mareimar, and we integrate these two. Now, again, we don't have time for the Iyun part of this Shia, which would be, we have a Gemara that says that Bar V'chul Yosef Mitztarfin. Now, in the case of a Bar, you have five Tfachim in depth, and you have five Tfachim in the Chulyas HaBar above ground, and the Mishnah says you can be mitzarif the two. How are you going to square that with Rav Chisda? Anyway, boy Rav Oshia, diurin haboy b'Shabbos ma'oshi yosru. What happens if you set up an Erev on Erev Shabbos, and everything was fine, and now there are new diurim that enter into the picture on Shabbos. And as a result, the Erev that you set up on Erev Shabbos is no longer valid. Why? Because diurim haboim b'Shabbos, what you have is two chatzeros that are smucha zu lezu. You have a kosel between the two chatzeros, and therefore each chatz has set up its own personal eruv. And now the kosel in the middle of Shabbos falls down. So now we need an eruv that combines both chatzeros. There's no mechitza to separate the two. Amar Rav Chisda Toshma. And Rav Chisda understands that when our Mishnah on Daf Tzadi Beis uses the word nifritza, means it was broken down on Shabbos itself. So we see that even though the kosel that separated these two chatzeros, the gedola from the ketana, fell on Shabbos. Nevertheless, all dayorim of the chatzar are allowed to be metaltel in this chatzar. Why? Because at the beginning of Shabbos, they set up a valid Eruv, and now, even though there's nothing separating them, they can still rely on each Eruv. Omar Rabba says there's no proof from our Mishnah, because Emar, perhaps what the Mishnah has in mind, is Mibod Yom Nifritza, that the Chatzah Gedola had a Mechitza that was Nifritza on Erev Shabbos, and therefore there's no Heter in the Ketana to be Metaltel in Knesset Shabbos, but if there would have been a valid Kosa that separates the two, and it fell on Shabbos, then in Ochinami, we would have said that since each chatzer, relying on the kosel, set up its own eruv, they continue to be muta b'shabbos, and that's called the principle of hoel v'hutra hutra. Amalei Abaye, Abaye says to Rabbi, I don't understand why you use the word emar. Emar means perhaps. Lo tem amar, my master, you shouldn't have used the word emar elevada. You should have said definitely mibod yom nifritza, because you yourself, Rabba, are committed to the position of Hol V'Hutra Hutra. Do'amar Hu Di'amar, because you, Rabba, were the one who related the following dialogue, Boy Mine Mirav Huna, Uboy Mine Mirav Yehuda, Erev Derech HaPesach V'Nistam HaPesach, Erev Derech HaChalon V'Nistam HaChalon Mahu, V'Amar Li, and the response was, Shabbos came in Shehutra Hutra. So you yourself related that this question was raised to Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda in a case where they set up an Erev on Erev Shabbos, Derech HaPesach, which means that since there was a Pesach that connected the two Chatzeros, that that therefore they set up one common Eruv for both Chatzeres, and now Nistam HaPesach or Nistam HaChalon, now you have a bona fide Kosel. On Shabbos, there was an avalanche that filled in all the missing parts of that Chalon or that Pesach, and now the Kosel separates the two. So the Eruv that they made that combined both Chatzeres together is no longer valid. And yet, Rav Huna responded that Shabbos came in Shehutra Hutra, since at the onset of Shabbos they were perfectly relying on an Erev Kosher because there was a Pesach or a Chalon, and that joined the two Chatzeres into one, allowing and validating a common Erev to both Chatzeros. That remains Mutta for the balance of Shabbos. So therefore, Rabbah accepted from Rav Huna and from Rav Yehuda that Shabbos came in Shehutra Hutra, therefore he should have used the language Vadai, not the language of Emar. Itmar, we have a machlokas in Kosel Shebein Shtei Chatzer Shenofal. If you have a Kosel that separates two Chatzeros and it fell on Shabbos, so that before Shabbos there was a bona fide Kosel that separated the two Chatzeros, and therefore each chutz has set up its own Erev and Erev Shabbos. And now the kosel falls on Shabbos. Rav Omar ein metaltelin bo el arba amos. Rav says that Erev that they made as a separate independent Erev for each chutz is no longer valid, and therefore they cannot carry more than four amos. Ushmuel Omar, and here we turn to Daf, Tzadi Dalid Omer Aleph. And Shmuel says, Zemetaltel ad Ikar Mechitza, Vizemetaltel ad Ikar Mechitza, which means that the same heter that applied going into Shabbos before the Kosel fell, which means that each Chotzer set up its own Erev that allows it to carry all the way up to the foot of this Mechitza, still applies, and we apply the principle of Hoel V'Hutra Hutra. So Rav holds that now the situation has changed, the Erev is no longer reliable, and therefore they cannot carry more than four Amos. Shmuel says, Hol V'Hutra Hutra, since the Erev was valid as we went into Shabbos, therefore that gives you a Heter Tiltul throughout the entire Shabbos. Shmuel sees the 24 hours of Shabbos as one entity, indivisible. And if these respective Erevin on each side of the Chatzah, when the Kosel was standing on the outside, at the outside of Shabbos, is valid, then that Erev on each side is Matir Tiltil for the entire balance of Shabbos. So this is where we're going to stop here, on the top of Daf Tzadi Dalid Amin Aleph, on the second line, Veha Derav, and that's where we'll pick it up in Mirtz Hashem, Neder, tomorrow.